Well, good morning, everybody. Since the Chiefs play at 1, I'm going to keep this short. So God loves you. You need to read your Bible. Amen. See you next week. Okay. Joking. Not going to be quite that short. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to John chapter 14. That's where we're going to be starting at today. And for those of you that missed last week, we've started in this new series called Supernatural. In which we're talking about things that are, not of this world. They are supernatural. I'm not talking about like werewolves, vampires, zombies, supernatural, but spiritual happenings and issues, and specifically those that are outlined in the Bible. And so last week we started out by talking about spiritual warfare. An easy place to start with this is think of everything being in two worlds. There is the physical, there is where we're at, the physical. We can see, taste, touch, smell. It's the physical aspect, the physical world. And then there is the spiritual, this unseen side. And so there's two worlds, two realms, if you will. And there is a war going on. And this war is happening in the spiritual realm, the spiritual world. And things that happen in the spiritual affect the physical. And so in this war, it's between two kingdoms. It's between the kingdom of light, the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of darkness. And if you're a follower of Christ, and really every person is a part of this war, whether they know it or not, but specifically, if you are a person that is following Christ, you play an integral part into this war because you are a target for the enemy. You are a target that they are specifically going after because their goal is to do things to turn you away from God. And this happens in the spiritual, but it affects the physical. It may manifest in things that physically happen, things that happen at work, things that happen at home, a fight, a conversation, a situation in which you feel low. And it gives them opportunity to try and divide, to pull your attention away from God and to things that are of less importance. And so their job is to pull you away from God, to chip away at your faith until it is gone. That is their goal. And because the spiritual can affect the physical, it also works the other way. What happens in the physical, and specifically the things that we do as believers in the physical, can affect the spiritual. One of the biggest and most effective being prayer. No matter how big or how small your prayer is, no matter how elaborate or how simple, your prayers hold a power. A power that can affect what happens in the spiritual realm. We looked at Daniel, and saw how he had this intentful prayer of wisdom, and how a messenger from the Lord, an angel, appeared to him and says, I have this message for you, but for 21 days I was held up. For 3 weeks, those 3 weeks that you were praying, I was held up, but your prayers aided me. We also saw from Elisha how God isn't just, you're on your own in this, but he will send those to aid us. He will send heavenly armies, heavenly beings to come and be by our side to aid us, to help protect us, and to assist us. He opened the eyes of the servant who was looking out over the kingdom being surrounded by an army. And when his eyes were opened, he saw chariots of fire surrounding this army. But most importantly, because of Jesus' death on the cross and his victory over that death when he rose, we fight in this battle, not for victory, from a place of victory. Because of Jesus' death, he has already fought that hard battle, and so we are fighting from a place of victory. And so we got this kind of this broad picture of spiritual warfare. And so this week and the next couple of weeks, we're going to be going through and talking about things that, even though they are not directly about spiritual warfare, they play major roles within it. They aid us. They help us. And next week, we're actually going to be talking about Satan and his demons and how they work against us. But it's very important for us to understand them and the impact that they can have on us. And so this week we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the third piece of the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary and essential to live the life that God wants us to live as followers of Christ. And you see, God wants his children, all of us, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is his Spirit, so that we can live a supernatural life that is pleasing to God. And so with that, we're going to answer first the question, who is the Holy Spirit? And so we're going to look at John 14, 16 through 17. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples. It's not too long before he gets arrested, and he's kind of preparing them, giving them instructions of things that are to come. And he talks about one of them being the Holy Spirit. And he says this, starting in verse 16, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." See, these words of Jesus, they teach us a lot about the Holy Spirit. First of all, we see who the Holy Spirit is. And think of it, Will, the Holy Spirit is a person, a part of the Trinity, the third part of the Trinity. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, it's not this gut feeling. It's not this gut feeling. It's not even, if you want to think of it, like your conscience. It is the nature of God. And so it is that third part, that third person of the Trinity, fully God. And second, we also see that can understand that people who are not believers will not understand this concept. They will not fully understand the Holy Spirit. See, to people who aren't followers, this seems like a wacky conversation. They can kind of understand the concept of God. They can understand the concept of Jesus because there is historical fact of Jesus. And so they can kind of understand that. But this third part of the Trinity, this third piece, it's confusing. They're like, this is going a little bit too far. You're not one of those people that's going to be bringing out the snakes, shaking the tambourines, and falling on the floor, are you? That's kind of their idea of what it is. But they don't understand it because they can neither see him, nor are they able to know him. And since they haven't given their lives to Christ yet, they haven't been made new or reborn through the Spirit of God. And that's what this is really talking about. A little bit later on in John, Jesus talks about how you need to be born of water and spirit, this rebirth. And so those that are not having this rebirth, being born of the Spirit, accepting Christ as their Savior, they don't understand the concept of the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus, he continues by saying that the Holy Spirit is with you. The Holy Spirit will be with you. And then he takes it a step further. The Holy Spirit's not just going to be with you, but will be in you. It will live within you. You will be filled with it. Which means that if you're a follower of Christ, that the Holy Spirit of God, the same very Spirit that raised Christ from the grave, lives inside of you. The miracle power of the Spirit of God dwells within the believer. And this aids us, this helps us. This is one of the ways we are able to talk to God. We are able to hear from God. And it also fills us with the power of God. If you are a Spirit-filled believer of Jesus, you are no longer a natural person. You are now filled with the Spirit, filled with the supernatural power of God. And with that, there are five things that we're going to talk about today. Regarding that, five things that the Holy Holy Spirit will give you the power to do in the name of God. Now, there are many aspects of the Holy Spirit. We could probably spend a month alone on the Holy Spirit and still would only barely, tiny scratch the surface. But I'm going to point out five things that are important for us to know that help kind of tie in with that spiritual warfare aspect and this idea of the supernatural. And so the first thing, thing that the Holy Spirit gives you the power of, or power to do, is the power of salvation. And maybe think, okay, well, but doesn't salvation come from Christ? Yes, but the Holy Spirit leads us to Christ. The Holy Spirit draws us to Jesus. We are supernaturally drawn to Christ. Now, I know I just had a conversation with you about people that haven't had a relationship with Christ, haven't accepted, they don't know who the Holy Spirit is. That does not mean that the Holy Spirit does not have effect on them. We are all created by God in His image. God still has influence over us. He does not control us. He does not dictate, but He does and can put things in our life that leads us to Him. But we have to make that decision to follow. And so we are supernaturally drawn to Christ, and it is because of Christ that God can miraculously save us, because of the death and resurrection of Christ, because of His sacrifice on the cross. Our sins are now paid. The debt that we have because we are sinful people is now paid because of Christ. And then when He arose from the grave, it gave us the ability, when we believe in Him and put our faith in Him, to have our own eternal victory over death. And so the Holy Spirit gives us this power of salvation because it leads us to Christ. And a good example of this being played out is when Jesus is having a conversation with a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus, he comes to Jesus at night because he's somewhat fearful of the Pharisees. He's on the high council, and he wants to have an actual conversation with Jesus instead of one of the confrontational conversations that they have out in the public, out in the open during the day. And so he comes to him at night, and he simply comes to him and says, "We know that you are from God because of what you say and what you do." And Jesus responds to this by saying, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it's to fully understand everything, you need to be born again. You need to be reborn. And so Nicodemus is kind of confused by this. He's going, Jesus, you're like 30. I don't need to give you a biology lesson. That can't happen. I'm a fully grown man. It's not like I kind of re-enter and come back out. That's not how it works. And Jesus says this in John 3, 5 through 6. He says, it says, "Jesus answered, 'Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit.'" Basically, what Jesus told Nicodemus is that your mom gave you a physical birth that gave you physical life, but your heavenly Father will give you a spiritual birth to give you a spiritual life. You can be born new spiritually. And so when we invite Christ to be our Savior and to be the Lord of our life, all of our sin is taken away and we are made new. That sin is cast away and then the Holy Spirit fills us and makes us new. It transforms us, and now we can please God because we are born spiritually new. There is nothing holding us back from listening to God, from hearing God, from doing what He is asking. Now, some people will say, okay, how do I know that that actually happened? How do I know that I am from God and that God is in me? How do I know that I really belong? And it's simple. He tells you. He tells you through His Spirit, because His Spirit will speak to your spirit. Scripture says it this way, and this is Romans 8:1. "The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we belong to God's children," or that we are God's children, that we belong to God. The Holy Spirit leads us to salvation, and we are born spiritually new. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit says, "You are mine." And one of the first things Satan is going to try and do in this spiritual warfare is tell you that you are not loved, that God does not care about you, that the mistakes of your past are too great to be forgiven. And in those crisis times, he will tell you that you are alone, that you are unwanted, and that God does not care about you. But the Holy Spirit gives us the power of salvation in this moment, this deep sense of spiritual assurance that he says, you are mine. You belong to me. You belong to me, so remain in me. What he says are lies. And when you remain in me, he cannot pull you away. The Holy Spirit gives us the power of salvation, which gives us that reassurance in those crisis times that we belong to God. The next thing that the Holy Spirit does that gives us the power to do is to walk in God's will. When you don't know where to go, when you don't know what to say, how to make it through your day, don't know what conversations to have or how to react to something, the power of the Holy Spirit will do something in you to guide you, to lead you to walk in the will of God. He will give you the direction that you need. He will give you the promptings to do the work he has called you to do. Jesus says this in John 14:26 regarding the Holy Spirit. He says, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, our guide, our counselor, our advocate. Jesus has a conversation with his disciples where he says, I have to go, because if I remain, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, cannot come. And with the Holy Spirit, you will be able to do amazing things. The Holy Spirit, it teaches us and it guides us because we physically do not have Jesus here. And so it is one that is sent to teach us. It's this one that is sent to guide us. It's one to help us walk in the will of God. And this includes convicting of us our sins and correcting us. You've probably heard Jiminy Cricket's famous saying from Pinocchio, let your conscience be your guide. Don't do that. I love you. Don't do that. Here's why. We are born sinful. We are born with sin, and because of that, we ourselves are corrupt. We can't make the right decisions all the time. We will make mistakes. We will get it wrong. We will say the wrong thing. We will do the wrong thing. We will fall into sin and try and get up out of it ourselves, only to fall back into it. And I say this with complete love for each and every one of you, and I'm including myself in this statement. Us by ourselves are hopeless. We are hopeless by ourselves. We cannot imagine completing whatever it is God has set for us by ourselves without him helping us. There is no way for it to happen. People have tried, people have failed. Don't believe me? Read the Bible. It's all in there. Israelites tried to do it for years and years and years, and it did not work, and it did not work, and it did not work. It's there. The proof is in the pudding. But if we put our trust in God, if we believe in Christ and let the Holy Spirit lead us, we can walk in God's will. John 16:13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Another aspect that just proves the Holy Spirit is from God and is a part of God. He will guide you in all truth. He will lead you. He will give you discernment. He will help you make decisions. He will lead you on the path that you are supposed to follow. He will not speak his own. He is an advocate for us. He is the intercessor between us and God. He is getting his leading, his direction, his words directly from the Father to tell us. He is our intercessor, and Scripture even tells us that when we don't know what to say, when we are going through pain, when we are going through difficulty, and we don't know what to say to God, when we can't put it into words, that the Holy Spirit will groan on our behalf to the Father. He is our advocate to the Father. He is the go-between. He is the one that tells us exactly what the Father wants us to do. He will give us the direction. He will tell us what is yet to come. The Holy Spirit will give us power to walk in God's will, to do the things that He wants us to do, to live the life, the calling, and the purpose He has laid out for us. He gives us the power of salvation, drawing us to Christ. And third, the Holy Spirit will give you the power to share Christ boldly. He will give you the power, the wisdom, and the words to share Christ boldly. Now, some of you might be like many people that I know. I myself used to be like this, and at times still am, where you get really nervous and intimidated to share Christ with people, to share your faith. When you're talking to someone about spiritual things, you're kind of like, I'm not sure I got the right words to say. I'm not sure I have all the knowledge. There's somebody else that can do this better than me. You think, if I reach out to them, but I may not know what to say, I won't have the right words. I may mess it up. They may ask me a question that I don't know. I won't know how to answer. They may ask me something about the Bible, and I'm completely clueless. What if I don't know? And so we put these questions to ourselves. Sometimes Satan will put these questions to us as we are trying to talk to someone about God, to share our faith with them, and say, you don't know enough. Why are you talking about this? They should talk to somebody else who knows more. They should talk to somebody else who's read the Bible more or knows more chapters or can pull verses out of the top of their head. He'll try and use that as one of the ways to push us further away from God. And so rather than sharing Christ, we hold back. We're scared, we're intimidated. We don't know what to do. But this is something that we have to understand, that as followers of Christ, the Holy Spirit will give you the power to share the good news and the love of Jesus very, very, very boldly. This is something that even the Apostle Paul knew. This is something that he even wrote about. He was at times insecure about his preaching and in the things that he was talking about in his letters to the different churches. And he even recorded it in 1 Corinthians 2:4 through 5. He says, "But my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." Paul is saying, I'm not the best speaker. I'm not the best writer. I'm not writing this with fancy words, with things that are going to try and convince you. I don't have all the answers. I'm not the one that can say it the best. But he was following God's prompting. He was following God's prompting, writing those letters, giving words to the churches that they needed to hear, and let the Holy Spirit fill their ears. He went in saying, I'm going to share words. The Holy Spirit's going to tell me what they are. I'm going to say things. I may not know what I'm speaking because it's not from me. It's from God. There have been times where this has happened with myself. I go into a conversation thinking, I've got a plan. I know what I'm going to say. And then I leave there going, well, I screwed that one up. I screwed that one up. That message was horrible. That conversation did not go the way I wanted it to go. It was not the plan that I had laid out. Only for the Holy Spirit to work. As a reminder to myself that it's not me that it's speaking, but it is God and it's His words. The Holy Spirit moves in those situations, and later a person might come to me and say, that's exactly what I needed to hear. And I'm going, that's awesome, because I don't know what I said. Don't know what I said, but I'm glad it's what you needed to hear. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. When you're having a conversation with somebody, you might be at a loss for words, and all of a sudden things start flowing out. You don't know where they're coming from. You don't know how you remembered that random scripture that you memorized in third grade that you've never looked at since, but all of a sudden it's there. And that person is listening intentful, not because they are words that you have come up with, but because they are from God. And the Holy Spirit leads us in that. The Holy Spirit will prompt us in who we should talk to and who we need to go up to. It will lead us in those conversations. It will give you a divine boldness to share even when you don't know what words to say. Acts 4:31 says this, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Not by their own knowledge, not by their own merit or their own persuasive words, but by the Holy Spirit of God. They went out knowing that the Holy Spirit was leading them, that they needed to proclaim who Christ was boldly. The Holy Spirit gives us that power to do so. The fourth thing that the Holy Spirit gives you the power to do is to live a holy life. See, when the forces of darkness want to tempt us to fall into sin, to live lifestyles that are not pleasing to God, to do things that go against God's word, the power of the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to live a holy life. Scripture says it this way in Romans 8:5 through 6. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Before a person knows Christ, it is easy to be dominated by those sinful thoughts, by a sinful lifestyle, but with the Holy Spirit, we are vulnerable. Without the Holy Spirit, we are vulnerable to the temptations of Satan. Without God, we are born in this sinful nature. We have sin in our lives, and it takes the sacrifice of Christ to clear that. Us accepting Him as our Savior and living our lives for Him, for that to be cleared, to be wiped clean. So when we're without Christ, we have this sinful life. We are vulnerable to the temptations of Satan. Sometimes it's because we do not simply know. And so we walk down the path that is leading to darkness, but we don't know it. Other times we know it, but we choose it. We know what Christ has to offer, but we choose the sinful nature anyways. But when we fully know Christ and we are filled with the Holy Spirit, with His Spirit, it gives us the power to live the holy life because His Spirit renews us. It transforms us and changes us. We start to think about the things that are pleasing to God. We start pursuing the things that God wants us to do. We start pursuing after what God wants instead of the things that please our fleshly nature. For your follower of Christ, sinning can be a lot of fun, or seem like a lot of fun, when in reality it's a, as I like to say it in youth ministry, it's a glitter-covered turd. It looks nice and shiny, but it's nasty. But it can seem like a blast, seem like a lot of fun, but once you're a follower of Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit, sinning is no longer fun. This is where the Holy Spirit convicts us. We become shameful in those acts. we begin to feel guilt of going against God and what He has planned for us. We begin to feel miserable. You may be pursuing after something that is not of God and you want to enjoy it, then all of a sudden it hits you and you realize it is no longer what you want. It's no longer what you should be doing, what you should be living after. And you wonder why. It's because the Holy Spirit is giving you the power to live a holy life. It is convicting you towards living a holy life. In fact, before we know Christ, it's impossible to live a life without sin. Because there's a battle going on, the forces of darkness against the forces of light. Pushing those away who might have a thought of following Christ, dangling the glitter in front of them, pulling them away further and further. But when you're filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit will show you the way out. It will show you just exactly what is behind that glitter, just exactly what it is covering. There's a way out of sin when you follow the Holy Spirit. And the fifth thing that we're going to talk about when it comes to the Holy Spirit gives us the power to make a difference with spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit, when he fills you, He will give you certain spiritual gifts, these abilities, these powers, if you will, to do things that seem supernatural. Things that you can't do on your own. And it's because they are from Him. They are directly from God. They are spiritual gifts that will empower you to make a difference in this world and fulfill what God has called you to do. Hebrews 2:4 puts it like this: God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. He gives us these gifts along with signs, wonders, and miracles. These things that seem so bizarre that they can't be from anything earthly. There has to be something else. He says that these spiritual gifts go right along with that. God gives us gifts through the power of the Holy Spirit to use in fulfilling what He has called us to do. And by doing so, we make a difference in the lives of the people around us. We make a difference in the lives of the people that the Holy Spirit prompts us to go and talk to. We may not know them when we sit down across from them at the coffee shop, at McDonald's, the new person at work, and we begin to have that conversation with them. We don't know what difference it's going to make. Using the gifts that God has given you, whether it's the gift of wisdom, the gift of encouragement, the gift of leadership, He prompts you to have that conversation with them. At the end of it, you're going, I had no idea. Had no idea what they were going through. Had no idea what to say. But all of a sudden, God was working through me and I was saying things that I had no idea I even knew. I was hitting them directly in their soul and I had no idea. I was giving them wisdom that I know wasn't from me. I was helping to lead them and I never thought I could do something like that. He gives us these gifts and abilities. Gives us these promptings to help those and make a difference in those who are around us. When we use the gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit for their intended purpose, we make a difference. 1 Corinthians 12:7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. We are given gifts to build up the body of believers, to reach those that are lost, to help the church, to help each other in our collective mission to reach the lost, to make disciples, and to glorify God. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to make a difference with the gifts that it gives us. As I said at the start of this, there are many, many, many other aspects of the Holy Spirit, of how it aids the believers, of the things it can do, of the power that it has. It's the administrator of peace, a bringer of grace. It brings comfort. It is a counselor. There are so many different things that I wish we could get into. I could if you want to be here till like 10 o'clock tonight, but I doubt that's going to happen. And like I said, there's a Chiefs game. But we could spend a long time talking about the Holy Spirit. And these are just five things that I thought were important for us to know as we walk through the supernatural. Especially important for us to know as we may be in the midst of a spiritual battle. Or we see those who are struggling. Our brothers, our sisters who are walking through difficulty. And it's a place where Satan can attack. They are walking through hardship. And you can see where Satan is starting to twist things. It's important for us to remember the power of salvation that the Holy Spirit gives us. The power it gives us to walk inside of God's will. The power to live a holy life. To make a difference with our spiritual gifts. To share Christ boldly in those points of darkness. The Holy Spirit is our advocate, our aid, our counselor. The one who is here to help us until Christ's return. And when we go to battle, the Holy Spirit is not only beside us, but is in us, giving us the power to stand on that point of victory and push Satan back. You pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your Son, the sacrifice that he made. And now you have given us your Spirit. Your Holy Spirit, God. To aid us, to prompt us, to give us power beyond anything that we could ever imagine to do. We are so blessed by that, God. And you say that it will be with us and in us. Renewing us from the inside out, transforming us, making us bold. And there are no words for that. How humbling that is, how terrifying that may seem. But you do so because you love us. So God, I just ask that your Spirit would consume us. That it would continue to transform us. Continue to renew us each and every day, God. That it would convict us in the areas of our lives that maybe even be hidden to ourselves right now. And that when we go into battle, whether it be for ourselves, for the person beside us, for our neighbor down the road, or for the person that we don't even know, God, that you would continually remind us of the power that we have through you. Heavenly Father, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.